You know, it is Easter week, the week we celebrate the resurrection and all that transpired before the resurrection with the crucifixion. And really, this is the time of year that we focus on the fact that Jesus was the Lamb that was offered for our sins, that he was, you know, crucified because we deserve to be crucified. He died there on the cross. They took his body down and buried it. And then through a series of events that are recorded in the scripture, we see that the tomb that he was buried in was found empty because he wasn't there anymore. God had raised him up from the grave. And then we see that days later, he ascended on high. So he's no longer here, but he's still alive. He's just not here. He's still alive, though. He's in heaven at the right hand of God. And you know, just as I've been thinking about this week and the things that transpired, you know, there's recorded in the scripture the last things that Jesus said, and maybe put it this way would be better, the last sermon that Jesus gave. And it wasn't in the form of a sermon. It was more in the form of a good talking to. And he didn't give it to the whole of all of his followers. He gave it to the 12. And I've just been reading those verses, and I'm telling you, they're some of the richest verses. They're some of the richest sayings of Jesus and some of the most revelation. And for me in my life, and probably you in your life, at least some of you, these are just some of the most critical things that you've learned are the things that Jesus said in his final hours before he went to Calvary. And so tonight I wanted to look at some of those. If you will, turn in your Bible to John chapter 14. Because it's interesting, if you read these verses, and starting in John 13 and read these chapters, you see some themes that Jesus discusses. One of the themes is he talked to them, he began and ended by talking about love, loving each other, and he, you know, ended up by talking about how much God loves all of us. And it's because God loves us that we're able to love each other, and that's something he's emphasizing to them in his final, you know, talk with them. And it's, you know, you think about it. Maybe you've gone on a trip and left your kids behind, you know, or maybe, Maddie Sue, she's graduating next weekend at ORU, and I remember when we dropped her off. You remember the day we dropped her off? That was like last Tuesday, wasn't it? Yes. I remember we were there and where we said goodbye there in David and Sharon Ingalls' driveway, and I remember, boy, I felt like I left my heart on that driveway. And so, but I remember, you know, right before we leave, just giving her a good talking to, even though I'd given her, 6,982 already and have a whole bunch since. But something about that moment, you know, this is a final time together. We're going to be together. You're going to give some final things. And so it's, you know, out of everything I've said, these are some important things for you to hear. And that's what Jesus did that night. He just went through that. He's facing, looking right at the greatest challenge he's ever had. Really, the mission of his life is in front of him, right at hand. And he's looking at that, and he's looking at his disciples, and he knows they really know very little about what is going to happen. And he knows that after he goes through the cross and comes out of the grave, that he's going to have very little time with them before he himself is gone. And so he's just really trying to solidify some things in them and give them some help, some final help. And that's what he does in these verses. There's some interesting things. One of the themes that's in here other than love is about the trouble they're going to have. He tells them you need to love each other. And then another one is he keeps referring to this coming trouble, persecution, you could call it, these things that are going to happen, you know. And I'm thinking if they had trouble, the reality is every generation has had trouble. And there is trouble in the world today. And though you and me may not be getting persecuted in the way that they were in the first century, or maybe not the way that people are in other places on planet Earth even today, you know, I was shocked to find that how many people are still, that there are millions of people still being martyred for their faith. And we don't even, you know, when's the last time one of your neighbors was martyred for their faith? Well, probably not recently, but you know, that's the reality that a lot of people live with. So even though we may not personally be experiencing that, that's happening, but yet there is still persecution. There is still, just living here is trouble enough. And Jesus said, one of the things he said is, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. So don't think it's strange when you do have trouble. And that's sometimes people come and they're like, I don't understand, all this stuff is happening. And I'm like, welcome to planet Earth. This is it. If you're having trouble tonight, you're normal. It's normal to have trouble because you're living on planet Earth. It's normal to have problems. It's normal for crises to occur and for situations to erupt right in front of you. You ever had that? That's normal. That's normal even for a Christian. It's not that we don't have troubles. It's not that we don't have problems. It's not that crisis doesn't come. It's that we have something that we can do. We have help. We have strength. And we have the Word of God. And we have authority in the name of Jesus. And a whole lot of other things that we can use when the trouble comes. That's why we're really interested in you learning about who you are and what you have. But trouble's going to come. But let's just look at some of the things Jesus said. Those are two of the things I saw. Now, this third theme really will help with the love, and it'll surely help with the trouble. And it's the theme of the Holy Spirit. And this is when he really just breaks out to them, the Holy Spirit's coming. And I like some of the things he said are so rich. In John 14, let's begin there. I'm going to actually tonight read from the Amplified Version a lot of these verses, because the Amplified Version, it just kind of brings it out and makes it more plain and repeats it in other words, and sometimes it just brings clarity. John chapter 14 and verse 16, and this is Jesus, and he's talking to him. The final address he gives him, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. And then in the Amplified, it defines what that comforter is, because comforter is not... It's hard to, you know, to communicate to us what the comforter is, who the comforter is, but he is the counselor. And, you know, we could stop and take every one of these words and talk about the Holy Spirit as our counselor. We could talk about the Holy Spirit as our helper, because he's the counselor, he's the helper, the intercessor, he's the advocate, the strengthener, and standby. And every one of those, you need a revelation of every one of those aspects of his ministry to you and in your life. It says that he may remain with you forever, because Jesus wasn't remaining with us in bodily form forever, or with them. In fact, he's never been with me in bodily form. He's never been with you in bodily form. But the Holy Spirit is with us, and he remains with us forever. The Spirit of truth, and that's an aspect of who he is. He is the Spirit of truth. And that's so critical and so important, because the world that we live in deals in deception. That's the currency of the world that we live in. It's all about deceiving and being deceived. So much of what we see and know is actually a deception. So many of the things that really that most people take as reality and truth, they're not at all. They're deception. They are. The world system is established in deception. And we're not immune to deception just because we're Christians. Just because the Spirit of truth is in us doesn't mean we aren't deluded ourselves. We have within us the Spirit of truth, but unless we're tapping into the Spirit of truth, and unless we're in touch with the truth, then we can be just as deluded as the next guy. We don't know who we are. We don't know what reality is. Because I'm telling you, what people perceive and what they write about and what they put on television and what they talk about is not at all, really, and is not at all based in reality. The reality is that Jesus is Lord. That's the reality. The reality is that God created, he created all that is. That's the reality. And the reality is that the only thing that really matters is what he desires and your part in what he desires and his plan for you. That's really the only thing that much matters in life. But you don't hear that in the news, and you don't hear it on television, and you don't hear it in most places. And that's not what most people build their lives on. They're not, you know, waking up. Most Christians don't wake up every morning going, God, what is your plan for this day? What is your plan for my life? What do you want me to do? What is your will for me? Most Christians, they turn to God when there is a crisis that they can't figure out, or that, you know, they can't handle. And then they turn and look for God's help. But because they're living in delusion and the Spirit of truth. I mean, it's sad. All of us in one way or another right at this moment are deluded. We don't want to think we are, but it's true. We don't see ourselves. If you see yourself as anything other than who you really are in Christ, then you're living in a delusion. Because that's who you really are. It's not who, you know, people think you are or who you see when you look in the mirror. It's who you are to him. That's all. He is the judge of all things. And the way he judges it and the way he says is the right way. It is the only way. And everything else is a lie. So when it gets down to it, there's so much we haven't tapped into from the Spirit of truth. And the thing is, if you really get acquainted with the Spirit of truth and you learn to hear from him and let him work in your life, you will start noticing how deluded you used to be, and you will start noticing the people around you. Some Christians, but certainly people don't, you will start noticing how you and the way you're thinking now is so different and so opposed. Do any of y'all ever have experiences like that where you hear people say things or see what's important to people or how they're living their lives, and they're right there, you know, like breathing the same air you are. And suddenly you realize, whoa, wait a minute here. We're on two different planets between our ears. You know, we're in two different places completely. Part of it is that the Spirit of truth has revealed to you the truth on the inside. Using the word, he will reveal to you the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Thank God the Spirit of truth is in us, because there's another spirit, the spirit of anti-truth. He's the one that's running loose, running rampant all over the earth, and he is strowing lies and deception and all kinds of things that we've all fallen for at one time or another. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, you wonder why the world is like it is. It's because it's not capable in its state of being in rebellion against God and rejecting Christ. It cannot receive the Spirit of truth. It will not welcome or take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. Or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. And these words Jesus gave 2,000 years ago are just as pertinent today. And you know what? They're just as comforting today. They're just as necessary and vital today, that we have the helper, the comforter, the Spirit of truth within us, and that he's remaining with us, and he's with us constantly. Now, so those are verses, that's 16 and 17. Let's go on down now to verse 26, and he says a little more. He says a little more about the Holy Spirit, and he says, and again, I'm reading the Amplified, and it says, but the Comforter, he's talking about the Comforter again, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, stand by the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. The Comforter will teach you all things. And he will call, well, I just want to say here, if he's going to teach us all things, then the connotation there is that we should be learning some things. And you think, well, you know, I did all my learning. They gave me a certificate, and I walked across the stage and turned my tassel, and I learned everything I was going to learn. And that might be one of your great big problems. You have many, but that could be one of your great big ones. That you've neglected to continue to learn, because you don't ever quit learning. And as a follower of Christ and as his disciple, that's what a disciple is. They're a learner, somebody who's learning with the intent of doing. Amen. And so we don't ever quit learning. But if he's going to teach us all things, then we have to recognize this is a clue here. He's teaching us all things. We need to be learning all things. What have you been learning in the last 3 months? Think about that for a moment. What have you learned in the last 3 months? What has the Holy Spirit been teaching you in the last 3 months? See, he doesn't just teach you math and science. He teaches you something that's much deeper. He teaches you about the truth, and he teaches you about how to relate to him and how to work in God, in the kingdom of God, and how to tap into the fullness of the kingdom, and how to take hold of who you really are and do what he meant for you to do. And he teaches you how to love others, because that's the thing that ran throughout this. And he teaches you how to overcome the world, what Pastor just read a minute ago, because he intended for us to overcome the world. But he's going to teach you all things. The way you learn to overcome all things that the world has is because the Holy Spirit teaches you. He teaches you. He's the teacher. So if you're not overcoming, guess what? The one who teaches you to overcome is inside of you. And he will teach you to overcome. And ultimately, unless you ever begin to be a student of the Holy Spirit and you let him, I call him the tutor, unless you let him tutor you, unless you let him teach you and guide you, it's not going to help you significantly to come sit in service. You're going to hear some things, but it's not what happens from here to here. It's what happens from here to here that really matters. It is. It's not what's coming out from behind here that's the big deal. The big deal is what's happening between here and here, because unless he's teaching it to you, it doesn't matter what we say or do. It's not getting in you and it's not impacting your life. And it's not like Matt was talking about on Sunday, it's not being sown into ground and establishing roots and then growing up and bearing fruit. That's not going to be happening unless the Holy Spirit's in there and you're leaning to him and learning from him. And just because you're saved doesn't mean he's teaching you. Now, he's there to teach, but if you never show up for class, and if you sleep through class, and if you don't ever read your book, and you don't have any of the materials, and you don't remember from one week to the next what you study, I mean, what kind of student are you when you're doing that? You're a sloppy student. You're a slothful student. You're a student who's not going to perform well. But the Spirit of truth that is in us, praise God for him. He says, whom the Father sent in my name, he will teach you all things. If you want to know something tonight, guess who can teach you? A video on YouTube? Well, that might help, but he, the Holy Spirit, ultimately will teach you. And there's something that happens. There's something about, Paul prayed over in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of our understanding would be flooded with light. And there's something, that the scripture refers to as revelation, something being revealed. There is a showing. There's something, if you're in the dark and you can't see, you might be blinded. I mean, sometimes people are blinded and they can't see because the devil's got them blinded. But even though people aren't blinded, they can't always see if there's not light. Even if you're not blind, if you're in the dark, you can't see. But there has to be a place in your life for the light to come. And it happens in your heart. Now, just think about it. I mean, the world calls it, you know, or people call it the imagination. But, you know, have you ever had like a creative idea? Have you ever come up with a solution to a problem? Have you ever had something just sort of flash across your mind's, you know, eye, so to speak? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes. Some of you are just, yeah, I know what that's about. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will suddenly, you'll just see something. I don't know how to describe it any better than just saying you see it. You see it. And I don't mean you see it here. I mean on the inside you see it. It's just like I've talked about many times, when one of the toughest things to teach a kid, I homeschooled all my kids for a number of years, and one of the toughest things to teach them for whatever reason is long division. Even they can be just really good at math and other, but somehow or another, because there's so many steps in that whole process and so many, and you move it here and y'all remember how to do it, don't you? I bet half of you couldn't do a problem if I gave it to you right now. Seriously, because there's all these steps, and you gotta subtract it. Yeah, that's right. You gotta bring your number down. You gotta put this thing up here. You gotta figure out if you're gonna have a decimal or not. And then what do I do? And should I? I mean, there's so many little things that go on with the whole thing. Right? Well, the thing I found about it is you could spend 3 hours one day teaching a student, you know, long division. And then the next day they get up and, oh, well, you taught it to them yesterday. They know it. So now they go through it and they don't know what they're doing. Mama. Except my kids don't call me mama. Mom. And so what? I don't know how to do it. How can you not know how to do it? Somehow or another, they never saw it. They kind of got through it some, but there always comes that day. At least it always came with the four of them. There always comes that day where finally they get it. They see it. It clicks. It's in there. And any of you have ever taught anybody anything, you know that there's a difference between teaching it to them and them getting it. And that's how it is with us and the Holy Spirit. He's always teaching. He's always teaching, but we're not always getting it. But the things of God work the same way. One day you just get it. Oh, you mean that the words of my mouth actually determine the course of my life. Oh my goodness. Now you can hear that message, and you can hear it in Abundant Life, and you can hear it on Wednesday night, and you can hear it on Sunday morning, and you can hear it again on Wednesday, and you can hear it, and we can just go over it and over it. But until it dawns on you, and that's an interesting word, dawn, not dong. Eddie always thought the word was dong. At least that's the way he said it. D-O-N-G, dong. You've corrected that in your life until one day it dawned on him that it wasn't dong. D-A-W-N, dawn, like the sun rising and the light springing forth, that dawning on the inside, when something just dawns on you. And it's so interesting when that dawning happens in our lives. And I tell you, there are some things, the day that it dawns on you that Jesus paid the price for you to be healed, that the same time he paid the price for you to be free from sin. There's a dawning that happens. And there's a whole lot of opportunities in our lives for this dawning to take place. Have you noticed that? There are things still, but still you should be having dawnings. There should still be things. You know, last summer when Jeremy Gall was here, 1 week, he spent the whole week talking about going from good to great to miraculous. And somewhere in all of that, even though I believed in miracles and even though I've seen many miracles and experienced them and even worked some, there was a dawning that came. That the miraculous, it really is ours and it belongs to us and it's easy and it's totally normal for us. And it's not something out there that we're grasping for. It's just ours. Because God lives in us. The miraculous is ours and it's normal. And going from good to great. There was a dawning that took place over those days. And sometimes it takes something like that. Anything that is beyond where you have been, you know, can take a while to get pounded. Like I said, with long division, you may have to go over that day after day after day after day after day. Until you finally get it, till it dawns. Well, the same thing. That's why those meetings had such an impact on us last summer, those of us who were here, because night after night after night, it's that, you know, you don't know what night. You don't know if it's going to be Tuesday night it dawns, you know, and it might dawn for Rachel on Tuesday night, but I didn't get the dawn until Wednesday night, but Cheryl got it on Friday night, you know, and then Martha got the CD, and then that's when she got it. You know, it just, you don't know when it's going to be, and maybe for Gary, it wasn't even in the service. He was just thinking about it the next week, and he was doing that thing we learned about on Sunday, mulling it over, otherwise known as meditating on it, thinking about it. That's why meditation is so key. As you meditate and you think, do you know what's happening? It's not just you talking to yourself about it. When you meditate the word, it really means to mutter to yourself, to imagine it. It's not just you muttering. It's not just you imagining. It's not just you, you know, chomping on it. There's somebody else in there helping you. He's chewing on it with you. He's muttering about it with you. He's talking to you. And you can't tell if it's him or you because you're so interconnected because he lives in your spirit. It's difficult to figure out, is this the Holy Spirit or is this my spirit or is this me? Because it just gets all worked together. Him talking to you. Doesn't it? Yeah. But he's talking to you and you're chewing on it, chewing on it, chewing on it. And he's in there and the dawning will come. And I'm telling you, there is nothing more precious than the dawning of revelation. I don't know. You can't convince me there's something more precious. Because the entrance of his word, when it finally gets in and really penetrates, because just because it came in my ear, it didn't get entrance. When it really penetrates, the Bible says the entrance of his word, it giveth light. And there, oh, the dawning comes and suddenly things look different. You just have a whole different perspective. I tell you what, here's a good example. Last Wednesday night, we came in. We were in one place. And remember, Pastor shared how the Lord said to him last week, that same day, was it earlier in the service or earlier in the day, you're looking at things from the wrong way. Well, you know what that means? That was a nice way of God just saying to him, you've been delusional. You've been looking at things the wrong way. You haven't been seeing things the way they are. He said, you need to look at things the way I see them. And then God gave us a great gift because then he inspired people to get up and tell us what's really going on. And we don't have any idea that's going on. And there was a dawning that happened. And if you were here, I don't care who you are, if you were at all tuned in, you left here in a place of peace and of comfort, and you saw the truth that, you know, despite the calamity in the world, despite the troubles in our own lives, God's doing something very wonderful. Amen. He's doing wonderful things. And there was a dawning. We experienced that together. But the Holy Spirit was heavily involved in that. People were talking, but they were telling of what the Holy Spirit had been doing in their lives. doing through their lives. Wasn't it wonderful? That's revelation that comes, that dawning, just to see something you haven't seen. And suddenly, whoa, we left here with a whole different perspective than we had when we came in. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He is that truth-giving Spirit. He teaches us all things. And not only that, He will cause you to recall. He will remind you and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. It's like having your own personal cheat sheet built in on the inside. He will cause you to recall. And He will, because it's so easy to let things slip. Y'all remember when Matt spoke on Sunday, he read from Mark 4. And the soil, the third kind of soil, was a soil that had begun to bear fruit. The word had gotten in, had been planted, and had begun to bear fruit. You remember? But then along came the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Those weeds, they entered in and they choked the word, and it became unfruitful. All right? So there you are. You've been bearing fruit, and then suddenly the distractions of the age, the deceitfulness of riches. You get your eyes on stuff and on the, you know, what the whole world is absorbed with. The deceitfulness of riches. The whole world is living in that. And lust of other things. That just is a big description of the world right there. And so that's, you get in there, and that gets in and begins to choke out what you're doing. But look what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, He will cause you to recall. See, because you were bearing fruit. The word was growing. There was something in there that had dawned on you, and it had come up and was bearing some fruit, but it got choked out. Thank God the Holy Spirit's in there to remind you of that, to help you get back on track. Because, you know, the good news about Mark 4 is, if you're stony ground, you don't have to stay stony ground. Thank God. And if you're that ground by the wayside, you don't have to stay that ground by the wayside. Many of us spent years as the ground by the wayside, but finally the dawning came. Thank God for the dawning. Thank God for the revelation that the light get made entrance. And there was a change in the soil. And then you don't have to stay the ground that's having the weeds choke out your crop. Because look at this, the Holy Spirit, what will He do? The Holy Spirit, He will remind you. He's always reminding you. Some people call it conviction. Some people call it a conscience. You ever been doing stuff and on the inside you know that's not right? Because He'll remind you. And, you know, and a lot of Christians have embraced the part of the Holy Spirit that, you know, convicts you. But I'm telling you, it's not just convicting you of sin. He will convict you that you're letting this slip and you're letting that slip. Or that, you know, you've gotten sloppy with things. Or that, you know, what you were so established in, you're not established in anymore. And He will remind you just what you need at the time you need it. He'll bring it to your remembrance. And Jesus said to His disciples, everything I've told you, the things I've taught you. Now, let's turn over a couple of chapters. We could stop and read here in John 15, but we're not. We're going to just go on to chapter 16 and verse 7. This is another thing. This is a theme throughout. He's telling us, telling them, and therefore telling us what is to come. And it's so critical that we know about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's been one of the most misunderstood parts of Christianity. Some people, they don't even know what to do with the Holy Spirit. They don't even know. And then they call it an it. They call it an it. They call Him an it. You know, they're just like, we're not even sure. Certainly don't even know what to do with Acts chapter 2. The best thing is just say, let's just say that all passed away so we don't have to deal with it because we don't understand it. But He wants us to understand, because I'm telling you, if the thing that enables us to walk in love, and the Bible says love never fails, and if the thing that enables us to overcome the world is this work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which you could definitely draw that conclusion by reading these chapters, that that's an integral part, that's a necessary part, it's a vital part of what we need. He and His ministry is a vital part of what we need to overcome what we're going to be facing here in this world. Then no wonder the enemy wants to just, let's say all that passed away. We don't understand. The Holy Spirit becomes some kind of vapor. Most people's understanding of the Holy Spirit is based on some Old Testament notion of something. It's like he's a vapor, he's a fire, he's a this, he's a that. I don't, God's power manifests in many ways, but I tell you this, the Holy Spirit is a person. And he's a person who lives inside of us, who is ever there talking to us, teaching us, training us, leading us, guiding us, counseling us, standing by to help whenever we need help of any kind. That is what he is. I don't know if he's a fire or if he's a vapor. I don't know if he's a smoke. I don't know if he's a wind. I don't know about all that. But I do know from the Bible right here, from the mouth of Jesus himself, he's my helper. Mm-hmm. Right. So when I think of him, I don't think of, I think of him being a helper. And I'm going to tell you, if he's going to manifest himself in my life, I would rather he manifest himself as a helper than to manifest himself as a cloud. As a vapor, as a wind. The wind could blow through and we could all go, oh. And I've been in that service, honestly. I've been in a lot of services where there were a lot of things. In one service, he was the rain, he was the wind, he was the fire, he was the cloud, he was the river. And we all were going to come up front and jump in. I mean, there were many things that he was doing, supposedly, but I tell you, all of that to me just is totally irrelevant when it comes to the fact of what Jesus said he was. He is the helper. He is the comforter. And I don't know about you, I need comfort just to live on this planet because it's a dark, ugly place. Just to live in the life that we have with people, with what's going on in the world around us, with the pain that people are in. I just need comfort for other people's pain. Just seeing how other people are suffering causes me to hurt. Forget me hurting. What about, you know what I'm saying? Just being in association with people. There's a lot of suffering. And he comforts me and he enables me. Because that's what the Bible says. We're able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. Where does that come from? It only comes from the Holy Spirit. So wouldn't you rather he manifest himself as what Jesus talked about than any other kind of manifestation? These things are precious. He is precious. He's the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 here in John 16, Jesus, and this to me is one of those statements that's made in the Bible that's just almost, you could almost laugh. You could almost see the disciples laughing in Jesus' face. If it hadn't been the severity of the situation and the seriousness of the night and the occasion that they were celebrating. I mean, and one of them might have just grinned anyway because of what he said, because he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He's telling them how he's going to leave and all these things, and then he says to them, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. This is what it says in the New King James. In the Amplified, it says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say to you, it is profitable, good, and advantageous for you that I go away. That's just like one of those statements that you'd hear and think, tilt. And then you'd go, you just kidding, right, Jesus? Quit fooling us, Jesus. Because it could not possibly be better for me that you go away and that you leave me. But Jesus said that the deal we were about to get is better than him here in the flesh. See, what we failed to understand and what the church has for 2,000 years failed to understand is his plan was never for God in the flesh to leave. His plan was to put God in a whole lot more flesh. Amen. See, they thought God in the flesh was going to leave and then, woo, where are we going to be? We're forsaken. What they didn't understand is the plan was that by the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus and was on him, empowering him, was going to come in them and then come on them and empower them. Right. Regenerate them and then empower them. That was the plan. So the plan was just, the plan is awesome, but we've never heard the fullness of the plan or heard very little about it because we think we're just Christians. Christians, we're just forgiven. But we're not just forgiven. God's plan was to make a whole lot of Jesuses all over the world. That was the plan. But we've limited the plan because it hasn't dawned on us what his plan was. The plan was that you would go and be Jesus to the world. and that you would live with the same word implanted in your heart and the same Holy Spirit living in you, guiding you, directing you, encouraging you, strengthening you, that was there with him doing those same things in his life. And the same Holy Spirit did those things. And you see, there were times he went aside to pray. He said in John 14, one of these chapters here, he said that the works that I do, I'm not doing them, but the Father who lives in me, he's doing the works. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when it really, you know, became clear to me that I could do the works of Jesus, because the same, yeah, I'm not Jesus, but he said the reason he did the works he did was because the Father lived in him. And that same Father, it's not hard for me to believe, the Father lives in me. So it's not unreasonable then that if the Father in him did the works through him, the Father in me can do the works through me. And it just really helped me. That was like one of those dawning revelations. Oh, okay, now I see why I can do the works that Jesus did. That's what he said. So that just like cleared a whole bunch of stuff up for me right there. It wasn't because I was worthy and I had the special anointing and I hadn't. It wasn't that. It says, you turn back to John 14:10. That's where he says, do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. And you know the same thing. When you preach the gospel, when you share the gospel, when you share the truth, when you share the word with somebody, you're not speaking them and those in your own authority. Anytime you share his word, you're speaking in his authority. But he said, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Telling you, the light bulb came on. The Father in him did the works. Well, I'm not Jesus, you know, because you sure don't feel like Jesus, do you? How many days you wake up and you feel like just inadequate in life? But it's not based on my inadequacies. It's not based on how I feel. God, the Father, lived in him and did the works through him, and the Father lives in me. I know he lives in there. Do you know he lives in you? How many of you know tonight that God lives in you? I mean, that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you, confirming in you that you belong to him. That's part of what he does. I'm in here. His Spirit bears witness, Romans 8, his Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. That's him in there saying, I'm in here. And that's why, you know, you could say tonight, how do you know you're saved? Well, I know I'm saved because of what the Bible says. Yeah, I know it because of that. But when it gets down to it, I know that I'm saved because I know that I'm saved because I know that I'm saved because I know. Is that how it is for you, that you know? I mean, I know. Do you know? I mean, because something... I know something changed, something's happening, somebody's in there, and it's not just me. I know he's in there. I know he's in there. He talks to me. Does he talk to you? Yes. He works with me. He convicts me. He strengthens me. He encourages me. He counsels me. He enables me to do things I could never, ever do myself. He's in there. And because he's in there, I know he's in there. Jesus said, the works that I do, he said in verse 12, he said, the works that I do, he, the one who believes in me, he will do also. Talking about me. He was talking about you. He said, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these you will do because I go to my Father. See, because he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit came and lives in you. The Father now is in you. That same Spirit. That was in Jesus and on him is in us and is on us and enables us to do what Jesus did. See, that's not like this huge, but when that really dawns, now see, here's the reality. We're all sitting here tonight, and some of you, this has dawned on you, but a lot of you, this has never dawned on you. Oh, you've heard me say it. You've heard him say it. You've heard a lot of messages about it, but until it becomes yours, till you really see it, until you see it, that's the only word I got, see it, until you see it, until you, on the inside, none of us really know if you see it. The only way we would know if you really see it is if you do something with it. Then we could say, he sees it. So a lot of times we just have to back up and wait to see what you're going to do. But when you really see it, when that dawning happens and you see it, things will be different for you. But this is the heart. This is what Matt's been talking about for weeks, and all this about the habits, and then the last several weeks talking about the soil. It's all designed to get you to see it. It's all designed for that dawning, All about hearing the word fellowship. He talked about fellowship. Let's get together, because here's what happens. If I get together with Matt and we're fellowshipping together, and he's talking to me about what God's shown him, it's amazing how God will use what he has shown Matt Wiley, and him talking to me, can that same light. It's almost like the flashlight that's shown on his spot. It's like he turns it over and I see it. Now, not always, but it's amazing how we can help each other see it. Has anybody ever helped you see anything? See, because the Holy Spirit doesn't just work inside of us like, isolated from everything else. He's also in Georgette and in Jose, and he can work with us together. That's what happens when we meet together. That's why it's so critical for us to meet together. And it's not just critical for us to meet so you can hear me preach or hear Matt preach, even though the Holy Spirit definitely works through this. But like Matt was talking about on Sunday, to get together with other believers and chew on the word together, and light will come. The greatest light that I ever have is when I'm talking to Matt. Because I've got my light and he's got his light, and we put our light together. And we can chew on it together. It's true. You just chew on it and chew on it. But that, you know what's happening? It's not just me and him there. The Holy Spirit's there. That's his work in our lives. He's working with us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm talking to you about tonight, you know, let me just be really frank and honest with you. This is life as a believer. What I'm talking to you about, this is how believers live. Now, not all believers live this way, but this is how believers were meant to live. And it's not just for a few elite. It's not just for, you know, those that are especially hungry for God. It's not about those that are especially stirred up. I mean, every believer should be chewing on the word. And whatever's going on in your life every day, the Holy Spirit inside of you talking you through it, helping you through it, guiding you through it, encouraging you, strengthening you, no matter what. That's what he's doing. And one of the best things you can do to tap into this empowerment that he has is you can pray in other tongues. Yes. Now, again, this is one of those things. The devil has fought that. He has fought it. He's made it. The world makes fun of it because they don't understand it. And he's fought it in church. There are whole, you know, denominations that are just really, you know, anti that. People have been turned out of church for it. There's just been all kinds of things that have happened over speaking in other tongues. And I understand why the devil's so against it. Because it is such a mighty and such a strong tool. And I don't know. Do you have a word? It's not a weapon, because it's not something that we use against the enemy. It's not a weapon. You don't pray in tongues against the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto God. Yeah, and it's a mystery, but he's speaking to God. So we're not fighting the devil with tongues. I have heard people, they do warring tongues. In fact, I know people that not only do they do warring tongues, but they, you know, they think that because the devil's the prince of the power of the air, they go up on tall buildings and do warring tongues. Or go up in high places. Or some have even rented airplanes, you know, so they could fly around and do warring tongues in the heavenlies. But I just want them to read the Bible, because tongues are not a weapon to be used against the enemy. Now, it will certainly harm the enemy when you pray in tongues, because you will be getting all the benefits yourself that strengthen you and enable you. But the authority we have is in the name of Jesus. The authority we have is in the word itself. Jesus used the word when the enemy came. He didn't scream out in tongues. You don't have any record of that in the scripture. That's not a scriptural principle. But sometimes people don't understand, and I know that. I mean, we all, like I said, have been in the darkness for so many years in so many ways, and we are all learning. But that's not what, you don't warn tongues against the devil. But here we have something that's so precious that we can pray in other tongues. And that's one way we can really get in touch with what he's saying to us. Because we can even, it's really him praying from within us, giving us utterance. And we're speaking out these words that he's communicating to our spirit. And we're speaking them out. And when they're in other tongues, they don't necessarily help us so much. Even though it will kind of energize you or can kind of, you know, just even the act of praying in tongues can kind of charge you up. And the Bible says it will. But as a result of it, there'll be great things that'll happen. One thing that'll happen is you're going to get something come up that's actually in English, or at least in a picture that you can see. You may get words in English that come, or you may get an idea, or you may get, you know, a thought, or probably the best thing you're going to get is you're going to see something. You're going to see something. You are going to see something. And God wants you to see something. And the Holy Spirit is in you to help you to see. Not just to help me to see. Not just to help Matt to see. No, he wants you to see something because there's things you need to see. Because there are things that he needs to show you, because things he wants to do in you and wants to do through you. And he wants to alleviate some of the pressure that you have in this world. He wants to help you to love others. He wants you to be a minister of the gospel. He wants you to do the works that he did. He was talking about that in these same verses. He wants to do all kinds of amazing things in you and for you and through you and on you and with you. And he can do that if you'll just get in tune with him. And one of the best things about praying in other tongues or speaking in other tongues is it quiets down your mind. Because the mind is where the enemy operates. He's shooting those fiery darts in there and all these thoughts and what if and look at this and what about that and remember this. And he can show you pictures. Can any of you close your eyes and see a picture of something you don't want to see?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll just get just lodged in there and you close your eyes and whoa. I don't want to see that. Embarrassing moments in your life, things that the things that have been done, abuse, all of these kinds of things, and they just get so just imprinted. That's the devil who is there, who is just enforcing that. He pushes that on you, and he's just always shooting that at you. But I tell you, start praying in other tongues, and it'll clear that out. Because the Holy Spirit is first and foremost the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. So he will, if you got all that stuff going on in your mind that's not holy, that's not of God, and anything that's contrary to the word, and I don't just mean it's dirty, I mean anything, that it can be worries and fretting, all of that, that's not holy. And he will help you clean all that out. Just praying in other tongues, it'll just shut down your mind. It'll impact your emotions. You can just be all fired up and mad and angry, and it'll bring peace because he is the Spirit of peace. Last night at our Elevate meeting we had with the leaders of the church, we were talking about how we handle conflict and when times of conflict occur, and what are some wisdom about what's the best way to deal with this. And one of the leaders spoke up and said, "You know, the very best thing I've ever learned to do in a time of conflict is to take some moments before that I'm going to deal with the person and pray in other tongues." And I do that. And so that's the best thing I've ever learned to do when I'm dealing with a conflict. And I'm thinking, man, if we would just do that one thing, how much better would relationships be? How much better would our lives be? So, you know, you just think the things. Now then, he's in there and he's the Spirit of wisdom in Revelation. And so he will come and he will reveal to you things. He's your counselor. I had, just in the last week, I had somebody say this to me. They said, "You know, when I get in a situation with my kids where I don't know what to do," and I've been in many, the person said, and I could go, "Yeah, me too." And you probably have too if you have kids. If you've had a kid more than 8 hours, you've been in that situation. It's like, you get one and you're like, what do I do now? I don't know about you, but when I had my first baby, I was like, help. It was the most helpless moment of my life trying to figure. The first night Matt and I were home alone with Maddie Sue, we were laid up in the bed and she's laid there. And she came in weighing 10 pounds and she was redheaded and red all over. And I was going to name her Rebecca, which is my first name. We were going to name her Rebecca, but I was concerned that if I named her Rebecca, I would call her Red her whole life. Or Reb. I was, you know, I knew I'd just start off calling her Reb, and before we know, her name would be Red. And Lamar James is enough Red for one church, so we don't need another one. But she's laid up there in the bed, and I remember we looked at each other. We're just in there in that room, and we looked at each other, and we said, "Oh, my," when we said this, "God, oh, my God. What have we gotten ourselves into?" I don't know if any of you ever had that moment, but we didn't know what to do. What are we going to do with this thing? I mean, you remember that, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
And I still have those moments. She's 22, and I'm still thinking, what are we going to do with all of you? But anyway, this person was sharing with me, said, the thing that I have learned to do when I don't know what to do, and when I'm having any kind of problem with my kids, I have learned through experience the best thing that I can do is pray in other tongues. I just have to pray in tongues until God shows me what to do. Now, if that works in an area of leadership and conflict, and if it works in an area of dealing with your kids, do you think it'll work in something with your finances? You think it would work with something on your job? Do you think it would work with some other relationship issue? Do you think it would work with something going on in your body that you're trying to work through and figure out? The Holy Spirit will show you what to do. He is the one who knows. But we just ignore Him and all the benefit that He offers us. We just ignore Him because we're so busy figuring it out. We're so busy doing all this stuff. But He is the... Oh, y'all, look who lives in us. Look what we have. I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life, but look who's in you. Look what you have. Incline your ear to Him. Listen. Talk to Him. Let Him talk to you. Pray in other tongues. You say, well, I don't pray in other tongues. Well, we can fix that in like 42 seconds. You can fix it yourself. Just say, Holy Spirit, come up on me like you did in the book of Acts in chapter 2 when you came up on them. And give me those tongues you gave them. And then just open your mouth and let Him fill it up. And you just keep working with it. It's all really about you. People that have difficulty receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's because of this one thing, that they're trying to do it. I mean, it's their mind getting in the way. Their mind is trying to figure the whole thing out. So just letting go and letting the Holy Spirit. Finally, when you like, that's why so many times we minister to people and they get something. I'm like, look, go home. Go in the bathroom. Turn on the faucet and the shower and everything so nobody can hear anything you're doing. Or just get in your car by yourself. Drive down the road. Somewhere you can have some time alone so that you can let yourself go. Where you're not having to analyze every moment of every word of what you're saying and thinking everybody else is analyzing you. I remember when we first started the church, the first time we had somebody get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was, I have to tell you, you wouldn't have wanted to been this person. Because the way we did it was, we don't do this now, we learned. Because the Spirit of Truth showed us something. But we had there weren't very many of us, but yeah, the person comes up and they want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so wouldn't it be sweet if everybody just came up around them? So we all came up around them and we were just huddled. And I don't mean we're like at a distance. I mean, everybody's just huddled right up on them. And it's like, speak, speak, you know, we're just praying, we're doing all this stuff. And finally, I think they finally mutter a word or whatever. And I think it was Carol, or I'm just blaming you with it. Just go ahead and take the blame tonight. It'll be somebody else next time. Somebody took a microphone and said, okay, now speak. So they're just receiving. And it's like, okay, do it now. Like, do it for all of us so we can see. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. We didn't know. That's terrible. That's not how you help somebody get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it took us a while to figure it out. But if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe you don't necessarily know if you are. Well, I'm just telling you, you can take care of it tonight. It's easily. It's easy. Go back in the Resource Center. For $1, they'll sell you a book called The Bible Way. What's it called? The Bible Way to Receive the Holy Spirit? I think it's a blue book. Go back there. And in fact, they'll give it to you if you just ask them for it. Because we give them away in altar room. If you need one, go back and they'll give it to you. If you promise you'll read it. Read that book. It'll tell you exactly what to do. And He's faithful who promised. And you might think, well, you know, I've tried 17 times. I've dealt with so many people over the years that have tried so many times. I've tried. And we've been able to help them because I remember one time I was helping somebody get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I had a well-meaning Christian there with me. And I'm going through the thing, and this person over here is saying, tell him to say Pepsi Cola really fast. And they meant it. Okay, just tell him to say Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola really fast. And then I just looked at them. I mean, I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding, and this is no time to be kidding, but they were so serious. Maybe they did that sometime with somebody and it worked. I don't know, but it's not a general good practice, you know, if that's the way you're helping somebody. Don't do the Pepsi-Cola method. Praise God. I'm going to stop right there. There are other verses. You read on down. Verse 13 of chapter 16 is awesome, especially in the Amplified. He will show you things to come. He'll prepare you. He'll get you right where you need to be. Things won't, you know, be a surprise. You'll be positioned for what is to come. If you ever needed to hear the Holy Spirit position you for things to come, it's today. It's today. Praise God. Let's stand. Are you thankful for the Holy Spirit tonight? Yeah.